Well, let's open our Bibles once again to the 119th Psalm, where we have begun a study on this lengthy psalm. And to begin with, we're just going to consider the 10 different names or titles that we have for the revealed will of God to His people, whether it be to His people Israel or to us in this church age. In this psalm, we have 10 different titles speaking of that same thing, the revealed will of God. Last week we considered the law of God and how we can understand the Word of God as our instruction for life. And this evening we're going to consider the word statutes. And you can be looking there at Psalm 119 and verse 5, where we have an example of its use in this psalm, where it says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." Remember, all of these things are speaking of the same thing, but with these 10 different descriptions of that same will of God, we have a greater understanding of its value and of its purpose in our life, and hopefully will give us a greater understanding of how it should impact our life. The word statutes, it's a legal term, as we are familiar with in the English language as well. And it refers to ordinances, or that which prescribes, that which is required or expected in any given area, no matter what the statute is concerning. It prescribes something that's required or that is expected. It comes from a word that means to mark or to trace out, or to describe and to ordain. And so the Word of God, the will of God as revealed to us, it marks out some things for us. It traces some things and orders some things for our life, ordains things for our life for a reason, that we might be successful in this life, that we might be everything that God created us to be, both in this life and in eternity. Let's go to Genesis 47 and verse 22, we'll see that this word throughout the Old Testament is translated in a number of different ways that we may immediately think, well, that's not the same thing. But this word has all of these meanings, and it's translated. It's the same word in the Hebrew that we read there in Psalm 119, your statutes. But here it's used for the first time in Genesis 47 and verse 22. And we're going to find out that it's not always used in the strictest legal or judicial sense. It often is, but not always. And so here in Genesis 47 and verse 22, we read this translation of that same Hebrew word. Only the land of the priest he did not buy, for the priest had rations allotted. That phrase is the same Hebrew word that means statutes. Rations allotted. So now we kind of understand the thought of marking something out or tracing it. And those were allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they did not sell their lands. This, of course, was part of our study when we studied Joseph's career, where he had the authority to allot rations, buy and sell. But of this one area, Pharaoh had given these allotted rations to the Egyptian priests. And so Joseph wasn't going to touch those. It has the thought of that which is supporting their allotted rations. It supports them. It's a lifestyle. It also gives them status in society. It marked out their place. Pharaoh thought they were special, and so he marked them out with a special provision. And so Joseph wasn't going to attempt to try to change that. Proverbs 30 and verse 8, we have a similar translation, but again, it's the word statutes. So when you think of the Bible, think of it as God's statutes, that which he has ordained, that which is he's marked out for you, and what he requires and what he expects. Proverbs 30 and verse 8. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Feed me with your statutes, what you've marked out for me. Food that's convenient for me, that is, that's prescribed for me, for my well-being. So the wisdom of this proverb is that he just wanted what was sufficient for him to do the will of God. He didn't want to be rich where it go to his head. He didn't want to fall into the despair of poverty. But Lord, just give me what you know I need, what you've allotted for me, what you have prescribed for me. So this is what the Word of God is for you and for me. And here in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 and 36, to me this passage emphasizes to me the extreme importance of us following what God has prescribed for us in the Word of God. To deviate from God's statutes, from what he's prescribed for us, what he expects from us in the Word of God, it's a dangerous thing to veer off from that. And here we see that in Jeremiah 31 and verses 35 and 36. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances, that's the same Hebrew word that means statute, that's translated statutes in Psalm 119. The ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. So the promise here to Israel by God is that just as set and as consistent as the stars and the moon and all their positions and all of the stars in their place, if those would go away, which they go from generation to generation, then he would also depart from Israel. And so, in other words, I'll always be there for you. But in the context here, reading, if those ordinances concerning the heavenly bodies that are mentioned, the laws of nature, what we call the laws of nature, but it's God's ordinances, it's God's statutes for all of these heavenly bodies. They're marked out, their orbit, their characteristics, everything about them has been set by God, our Creator. And when you look at the delicate balance of the universe, well, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, because it's clear there's certain laws that are in place. And who put those laws there? For all of those things to follow their orbit and to be where they need to be, who set that? God did. They are set to function in such a way to accomplish their intended purpose. That's what the statutes are set for, that everything would function like it's supposed to function. That's what God's word is for you. It's not to make you miserable. It's not to just give you a bunch of do's and don'ts that are arbitrary and have no meaning. That's just the way it is. No, God has set these things that we might fulfill the purpose for which he, our Creator, created us. And that's how we need to look at the Word of God. When you read the Bible, understand it to be his statutes, what's prescribed for you to be what God intended for you to be. He is the ruler of the universe, and he's the ruler of your life. He needs to be. He needs to be acknowledged as that. As the Creator of life, the source of life, he knows exactly what we need, and that's what he's prescribed for us in his word. If we ignore his statutes, what he's marked out for us in his word, it would be as foolish and as devastating if the moon had its own mind and chose to, I don't like this position, I want to come closer to the earth. And he starts moving out of the ordinances that God has given him that prescribed for the moon, he's going to come crashing down to the earth and cause great devastation to himself, to the earth, and to everything on. That's how foolish it is when man rejects the authority of God in their life and what he's prescribed for us. It's a dangerous thing. It's a foolish thing. I want my ways to be directed by the statutes of the living God. That's what the psalmist was praying for. That's what he was desiring. And that's what we should desire. The sun and the moon, the stars, they don't have a choice. They have to follow the ordinances that God gave for them. But we have a choice. We are, of all of God's creation, man, humanity, is the only creature that has that ability to make a choice. Do I follow what he's marked out for me? Or I can choose to do what I want. But it's foolish to go off the path. And so may we look at God's word with that kind of understanding. Direct my life according to your statutes. Now let's look at one more this evening. Precepts. Psalm 119 verse 4. We have the word precepts. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. That takes a little effort to be diligent. And so what are his precepts? The English word means literally to take beforehand. That's what the pre is. Precepts is to take something beforehand. The dictionary for the English word gives this definition. It's a commandment or direction meant as a rule of action or conduct. So it's a commandment or direction, and it is meant to be a rule for a certain action or a conduct. A precept can have a legal application, just like statutes, that demands a certain action, or there's going to be legal consequences. That's where the commandment thought comes in. But it can also have the thought to be a necessary technical instruction to direct someone to have success in the use of something. A technical instruction. I'll give you a couple of examples so hopefully it'll become a little clearer. This is something, anyone who's worked with computers at all, this will be something that be familiar to you as a precept. One of the precepts for using a computer and a flash drive, everybody know what a flash drive is, a memory stick, it's known by several things, but one of the precepts about using a USB flash drive is that you always eject it first before you just yank it out of the computer. There's a little step that you, a little button that you push there, a little prompt. It says to eject it first. And so that closes everything. So if you don't do that, the risk is, it doesn't always happen, but the risk is, and I have had it happen to me because I ignored a precept, you pull it out, it can corrupt your files, especially if it's in the process of writing a file to the USB drive. And so if you ignore the precept, you're going to cause some corruption and some damage. So that's a precept. Another one that might be more familiar to everyone, although this is changing as well, but a precept concerning the maintenance of your car. It's a precept that you should change your oil every, it depends, it used to be 3,000 miles, but now it depends on whether you use synthetic or whatever, but anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 miles. It's a precept. If you want your car to work like it's supposed to work, change your oil when it's time to change your oil. And if you don't, your oil's going to turn to sludge and you're going to ruin your car. And so it's a precept. It's not so much the law doesn't make you change it, but yet it's an instruction for you to have success. It's a precept. The Bible is God's precept for your life. He gives you these instructions for the purpose that you might be successful in life, that you might be successful in what he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. We need to perceive all of God's instructions with that if we ignore them, our life is going to turn to sludge, and there's going to be some consequences for ignoring his precepts. The root word for this Hebrew word, it's a very expressive word, and so the word that precepts comes from, that's translated precepts there in Psalm 119, It has a lot of different meanings, and it's translated a lot of different ways in the Old Testament. But it has the thought of to take notice of something. So the instruction comes because someone cares. It has the thought of attending to something. And so it goes beyond just this is a precept, this is an instruction that requires a certain action. But the foundation of that word, where that this word's derived from, it gives you a foundation of because I care, because I want to attend to this need. That's why God's given us his word. That's why he's given us these precepts, because he cares. We won't turn to all the different ways it's translated, but I'll give them to you, a few of them here. The root word of precepts in the Hebrew, it's translated in the Old Testament. For example, when Jehovah gave Sarah the ability to bear a child after she was beyond the age to bear a child, it says that the Lord visited her. That's the same word. It's the root word that precepts comes from, visited her. Also, when Jehovah visited Israel in Egypt to deliver them, again, it's translated, he visited them. And then it's also translated as oversee. So you can see how broad the meanings of this word is. Joseph in Potiphar's house, it says that he oversaw Pharaoh's business, his household. And that word, again, precepts. He gave certain instructions in order that business would succeed because he cared. It's also translated to appoint. When you read the instructions about the tabernacle and these people being appointed to this task and this is appointed to that, the word appointed there is also the root word of precepts. And then finally, it's translated as number, to number. The children of Israel and countless other times throughout the Old Testament, it's translated to number. Why did they number? Because he was counting. He was attending. He was there to know what the needs were, and therefore he prescribed what was necessary. He gave those instructions that would lead to success in whatever area he was dealing with at the time. So this is how the psalmist perceived God's word, and this is how we need to perceive it. Our creator, the one who knows, those that built the computer, they're the ones that gave the precept. Eject the flash drive before you pull it out, because they knew what would happen. God knows what you need. He knows what I need. And so this is why he gives us his precepts. They're not arbitrary, harsh commands. It's because he attends to us. He cares. He sees what our needs are. He knows what our needs are. And this is why he tells us the things that he tells us. And so when you read whatever area it is, whether it be your marriage, those that you associate with, your work, school, your relationships, your friendships, when God gives us specific instructions, and there are so many of them, I'm giving you the broad brush here without giving you a bunch of specifics of what the precepts are, but every time we study the Word of God, we're hearing some precepts. What are we going to do with those? Are we going to follow them in order that we might be successful? Or are we going to bring corruption to our life because we ignored the precepts of our Creator? I think we'll close there this evening.